Well, you don't need a bunch of machinery or chemicals to restore pastures. It turns out all you might need is four legs, hooves, and a good appetite. Larry Wheeler here. We're going to take a look at managed grazing in this last 30 minutes or so, and you'll hear about the effect this cattle feeding strategy has on the environment and on Wisconsin farmers, and it's all for the good. And a couple of guests with me today. Nicole Muskinski is with us. She's the program and engagement coordinator at an outfit called Grassworks. Nicole, welcome. Good to see your face again.
Yeah, Larry, thanks so much for having me and Chris on the show.
Yeah, and the Chris is Chris Johnson. Chris is a grazing biologist with Ducks Unlimited, and he is the owner and operator of his own grazing farm. And Chris, welcome to you.
Thank you for having me.
And as we talk with Chris and Nicole, I hope you'll join in. Want to hear from you. Do you own cattle? Are you involved in this process? And maybe you rotate your cattle through different pastures or other animals. I hope you'll join in. The number's 800-642-1234. Email to talk at WPR.org. And Nicole, I bet I was thinking about pronouncing your name, and do I do it Nicole Muskinski or do I do it Nicole Mashinsky? And Mashinsky apparently is the right pronunciation. So sorry for that. But
that's all good.
What's Grassworks?
Yeah, so Grassworks is a nonprofit organization that promotes and supports managed grazing. So we work with farmers, we work with agricultural professionals, and we work with the general public to inform them about all of the many benefits that managed grazing has.
And maybe we'll turn to you, Chris. What is managed grazing? I mean, I was kind of hinting at or talking a little bit about it, but give us a little more detail.
Yeah, managed grazing is a method of grazing where we essentially are isolating the cattle or other livestock to a particular location on your farm using usually a temporary electric fence material. And these small areas are called paddocks. And the cattle or other livestock are kept within a certain paddock for 1 day, 2 days, maybe three or four. And then they're moved to the next spot. And the reason this works really well is that the cattle, they graze the pasture quite evenly. The manure and urine is spread evenly. And 90% of your farm is regrowing untouched. And so it provides very good production, very good forage quality, and all sorts of other benefits that we get into later.
Yeah. And you're on your own farm, you have not only cattle, but other animals as well that you're doing the same process with.
That's correct. At one time I had quite a few different species when we were full-time farmers, but now I'm full-time with Ducks Unlimited, and I've whittled my farm operation down to a cow-calf operation. So I still get to practice what I preach with grazing and still have that work-life balance.
It's great, and it's interesting that a grazing biologist with Ducks Unlimited, somebody might say, well, why would Ducks Unlimited want somebody with that kind of background? So you might as well explain that and get that out of the way.
Very good question, and it is a common question. The reason is because what we call working lands, which are our privately owned, usually farmlands and also ranch lands, they are really the home for a lot of waterfowl between wetlands and uplands. We can use our, as myself as a grazing biologist, I work with these farmers and other landowners to develop these managed grazing systems. These systems greatly improve water quality and also provide great habitat for not only ducks and waterfowl, but other species like grassland birds and insects.
Yeah, and Nicole, that's got to be one of the main reasons for doing this kind of work.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons. I think that touches on a huge piece of it, which is those environmental benefits and seeing those animals and plants that are potentially native to this environment. But certainly, Chris touched on other benefits for farmers as well, which is reducing some of the costs of farming, whether it's fuel costs, whether it's fertilizer costs. So you're really cutting down on some of those costs, especially what you would be feeding the livestock if you're rotating them through the pasture in a successful way. You're able to save a lot of money on feed. And then there's benefits for the animals as well. Of course, seeing them out in the pasture just, gives you a sense of joy and knowing that it's all part of that closed loop and that ecosystem. So there's many benefits on that economic level, the community level, and of course, the environmental level.
Yeah, absolutely. Jacob in Menominee has something for us. Let's go there. Hi, Jacob.
Hey, thanks, Larry, and thanks for all your years of service. Your show brought me more joy than I have time to tell you all about. And I have 12 acres in Menominee, Wisconsin. And so my question for your guests is, what would so it's the ancient apple trees, right, planted in like the 70s and 80s? It's overgrown, like goats, sheep. I want to get chickens for the to eat some of the bugs. What would you guys do if you were me?
Well, who wants to start? Raise your hand if you
Yeah, I can take that.
Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, so 12 acres, you have plenty to work with. Probably the most important part is getting yourself a good perimeter fence set up. It sounds like you have these nice big apple trees, maybe some other shade trees around, and likely a lot of brush and other forbs you may not want around these trees. So I mean, renting a brush, skid steer mounted brush mower was probably well worth the money. Get that perimeter area cleared and then start working on clearing the interior area, or get it set up enough that your goats or sheep can have at it. So goats are going to be your best livestock species for grazing brush. They prefer to graze at chest level and above, and they will learn how to stand on their back feet and get at quite a few different species. So they will eat the ones you don't want, but also the ones you may want. So proceed with caution with goats. They like climbing on cars and all the other things people like to joke about. It's most of it's true. And then also reach out to your local grazing specialists and other organizations that deal with grazing in your area. Attend local pasture walks and other events. Grassworks is really the organization that is they're experts on in that realm, and they keep a really nice calendar of events on their webpage, so you can surely find some events near you.
Yeah, and maybe you could expand on Grassworks and how they might help Jacob or anybody else, Nicole.
Yeah, certainly. So part of what Grassworks does is have resources for both beginning grazers and experienced or advanced grazers. So on our website, there is a lot of resources, links to different fact sheets. And then I think really what the biggest benefit is getting involved with the grazing community, meeting other people that are doing grazing, seeing it firsthand on farms, and seeing the variety too. So 12 acres, 100 acres, a few hundred acres, there's going to be so much variety based on, how much land you might own or be able to rent, your location in the state, what type of features are on the landscape that might need to be thought about, when you're planning to do grazing. Is it steep? Do you have a water source? So all of those things, Grassworks has some resources that can put you in the right direction.
Yeah, somebody is sure to wonder what happens in the wintertime. What do you do, Chris?
Couple different options. Most livestock species are fairly well adapted for basically outwintering. We'll stick with cattle, for example. As long as you're working with breeds of cattle that are adapted to northern climates, if they have plenty of good feed, good quality hay, for the most part, they can outwinter quite successfully. And in fact, that they'll often be healthier in an outdoor environment because they're not having that moist air that many barns do. And that moisture is often what leads to respiratory problems that animals would see in the winter. Other species, sheep can outwinter very well. They wear wool coats, as you may imagine. They have pretty low water requirements, so snow can be their main source of water, though I always recommend having good water available. Goats, they're adapted to warmer, more desert climates. So proceed with caution with outwintering with goats. Usually a shelter, and like open-sided shelter that has plenty of fresh air. We really want to avoid that moisture. Like closed spaces are usually not good.
Yeah. Talking today with Nicole Mashinsky, who is the Programs and Engagement Coordinator at Grassworks, and also Chris Johnson, who is a grazing biologist with Ducks Unlimited and owner and operator of his own grazing farm. Great to have them with us. Questions for them, give a call. The number 800-642-1234, or you could email us the email address talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Taking a look at managed grazing today with our two guests, Nicole Mashinsky, Program and Engagement Coordinator at Grassworks, and Chris Johnson, grazing biologist and owner-operator of his own grazing farm. And again, join in, 800-642-1234, email to talk@WPR.org. Chris, maybe talk a little more about your farm, but also, how did you wind up with this, you know, idea, I'm going to do this?
That is an excellent question. Spent quite a few years at the university, including UW-Madison, but really I decided I wanted to be outside and working. Always had an interest in farming, and first-generation farmer. So I didn't really know any better of what I'm getting into, but also I wanted to do it the right way. So the first thing I learned was rotational grazing and managed grazing. So right from the get-go, I studied that. We moved around to a few different farms until finding our own place here. We were a full-time multi-species grazing farm that we did all of our sales direct at farmers markets, mainly in Minneapolis. And my wife and I did that full time for a number of years. I think this is my 13th year grazing right now. But kind of, you know, with my background in soil science and water quality management, and then my experience running my own farm, I felt like getting into the professional side of agriculture was a good fit, and turned out I really like it. And I'm happy to be here at Ducks Unlimited, really helping other farmers to develop managed grazing plans and working with them, working through issues, working with folks just starting up. And we can always find a good creative way to set up a farm for efficient grazing.
What's now you've been doing this 13 years. What was the property like when you started, and have there been, I mean, has the property changed over the years? Let's put it that way.
Great question. Yes. So I purchased a farm that sat idle for about 30 years. I'm in Northwest Wisconsin, and the trees and the brush that will grow like no other. So the farm that I moved to in 2017 or 2018, it had no water, no fence, no electric, and very poor vegetative quality. And it was right in my price point. So I said yes, signed a lease sight unseen, and then I had the work cut out for me. I hauled water from my other farm for a number of years before I was able to eventually, I've now removed all the old barbed wire fence, mowed back all the brush, developed a full rotational grazing system with winter water sources, 11,000 feet of above ground water line, interior fences, and essentially have developed a grazing system where I can move just cattle at the moment, but can move my cattle across our farm quite efficiently. And we're seeing just great improvements in forage quality just through grazing management and a couple other practices. So it's really come a long ways. A lot of this practice would be known as regenerative farming. And I feel like our property is just really a prime example of what we can, where we can kind of move the needle with grazing management.
And Nicole, just your experience with your own outfit, Grassworks, talk about the range again and the number of farmers that you're coming into contact with relating to this. Are there more?
Yeah, in terms of types of farmers. Yeah, so we work with a large variety of farmers. One of the most engaging parts of my job is being able to work with farmers who've been grazing for 30 years or more, who have really been around in Wisconsin and grazing since the 1980s, when we saw a big shift and an interest in managed grazing after effects of, you know, what is known as the farm crisis was happening, and farmers were looking for alternative ways of doing things, ways that would work better for them, their budget, and also for the environment. So there's a large variety of farms across Wisconsin, and of course throughout the upper Midwest, that vary in size, and as Chris kind of mentioned, multi-species grazing, so having different species on the farm to do different jobs that can complement each other in terms of what they eat or the fertilizers that they leave. And so we are really lucky to be able to work with small farmers, large farmers, and all different types of species.
Yeah, I flash back when you mentioned the 80s, because I can remember doing so many shows on the farm crisis of that time, with everything so expensive and the prices went down. And I actually had one of my very best friends lose his farm during that time. And it was a very, very hard time. And so it made perfect economic sense, I think, to pursue this route.
Yeah, and we're seeing other applications of grazing as well. So, you know, in the Madison area, when I was living there, the Parks Department used goats to do invasive species management. Of course, there's poultry and using chicken tractors, moving chickens around, you know, even a smaller farm, a hobby farm, or even in a garden to have a small flock of chickens. So there's a wide variety, whether it's someone's primary source of income or sort of a secondary aspect that they're adding to try and regenerate some of their own soil and just complement the ecological practices that are happening in their own backyard.
Yeah. Liz in Verona has a question. Let's go there. Hi, Liz.
Yeah, hi. I have a question about, if you could comment on how rotational grazing improves soil health, but also provides grassland for grassland birds.
Yeah. Chris, do you want to start?
Yeah. So the main way to improve soil is through the root systems. And so with rotational grazing, where the grasses are quite long compared to what you normally would see. Oftentimes, if you're driving by a traditional pasture setting, it's the grass is quite short, maybe an inch or two. And we often think about the root systems, the parts of the plant you cannot see, as being a mirror to the above ground portions. So if with long, tall grass that we give lots of rest time for, these root systems really grow strong. And then when the cattle rotate through on a 30-day or 45-day schedule, they eat that grass down. It triggers a lot of biological activity in the root system. And this activity is really feeding soil microbes, which is cycling nutrients in the soil, and creating a really great environment in the soil. And this in turn builds soil organic matter and stores nutrients. So it just really, really helps. And the second part of your question with the grassland birds, it also goes back to the tall grass. It has so many benefits. So we're seeing lots of species around my farm, like bobolinks, meadowlarks, and other grassland birds that only are found in tall grass areas. And so it's that grassland cover that is really helpful. Also have quite a few ringneck pheasants around, which is really neat to see, just wild pheasants.
Yeah, and you don't see them everywhere. No. That's for sure. Liz, thanks for calling. And just to go along with that, we had an email from Thea, who was wondering how many acres per cow, or what? I mean, how much room do you need per cow, let's say, for optimal grazing?
Very good question, and this is one we get a lot. If an average cow, let's say it's 1,300 pounds or so, I'd start with around 2 acres would be a good place, and that's in a very good year, if you have very good soil and good fertility, you'll probably have a little bit extra grass. Being able to cut some first crop hay on your ground is a handy tool to have. But also, if we end up in a drought year or you're in an area with poorer soils, you may need all that area. So that's a good place to start.
Somebody was wondering as well, if you want to get involved with Grassworks or support managed grazing, Nicole, how do they start?
Yeah, I mean, I'll talk about specifically how to get involved with Grassworks, but again, to echo this point of really attending a pasture walk. So our events page on our website lists events happening throughout the state, but even if you Google pasture walk in whatever the county that you're living in, you're going to find some events. And I'd say that's the number one way to really see grazing firsthand and be able to talk about it with your friends and family and kind of raise awareness of it. But I think in terms of Grassworks specific resources, we do have a membership program if you're looking to support educational resources for farmers, or again, resources that would go towards the general public. Joining our organization as a member is a great opportunity. And if you're a farmer looking to meet other grazers, build that community, and kind of get more entrenched with the services that are offered, we have a grazing school as well. And so that's really a crash course, everything you need to know about grazing, just like our other question that Chris just answered. You know, how would you, for example, figure out the carrying capacity of your pasture? So, you know, the grazing school is going to walk you through grazier's math and calculating out how many head of cattle or livestock you could have per acre and really understanding what your land can do for you. So those are a few of the resources that we have for supporting managed grazing in the state.
Michael emailed and wondered, how much of your pasture is made up of native plants?
It's a great question.
Yeah, go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, it's a great question. And in Wisconsin, there aren't very many of these native pastures. But at Ducks Unlimited, this is actually one of our biggest priorities, is to help folks get more native pastures out on the landscape. They are drought resistant. They grow very well in the summer months. And just with everything we're seeing with higher temperatures and drier summers, it makes all the sense in the world to get these native grasses out there. They could be managed for quite good forage quality, and they are just excellent for grassland birds and other wildlife.
Steve in Sparta has something for us. Steve, what's on your mind?
Good afternoon, and going to miss you guys. When I was dairy farming, I was involved with the Cooley Graziers, and the pasture walks were amazing. The best ones we ever had were the ones I had on my place. Because everybody's got an idea and an assistance. One of the projects that we had going on, I got involved with Extension. And when I also was using a TMR system. So I was running 60 acres and I had 80 cows on it. And I also had to supplement some feed with some TMR. And we were, because you know how much dry matter it takes to produce milk, and I knew how much dry matter I was supplying with supplemental feed, the rest of it had to come from the pasture. And we were getting yields of 9 tons to the acre of dry matter. That is unheard of, even in the alfalfa world.
Very nice.
Yeah, very, very nice, Steve. I thank you very much for calling and sharing your experiences. Well, what's your, boy, we're about out of time, or we're running out of time here. Boy, it's flying by. Nicole, where do people, what's your website? Let's go to that.
Yeah, our website is grassworks.org. So there you can learn about, again, all of these events that are also, you know, hosted by partners throughout the state. So each county has potentially their own grazing group. There's lots of grazing networks that are run by farmers throughout these various regions. And then we have our Grassworks events as well. So grassworks.org is where you can learn more about our programs and our events.
Well, I tell you what, this flew by. I want to thank you both for taking time to be with us. Perhaps we can do this again down the road. We can go into some more detail on how it all operates. I thank you both. Nicole Mashinsky is Programs and Engagement Coordinator at Grassworks. Chris Johnson, grazing biologist with Ducks Unlimited and owner-operator of his own grazing farm. It's great to have them with us today. And, hey, thank you so much for joining in and staying with us throughout the program. It's been a lot of fun today. I learned a lot. I hope you did as well. And, of course, this is a team effort. I wanted to mention Clara Neipert and Joel Patnod. Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins. Our executive producer is Jill Nadeau. Jill and I will be at the Barrymore Theater tonight. I'm giving the last of my talks around the state on kind of my 59 years of service on Wisconsin Public Radio. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm not sure if it's... might be sold out. I'm not positive. Any tickets still available. Go to WPR.org/events and you can still sign up. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Thanks for listening. Stay with us. Lots more in store.